Yeshaya Perek Dalet, the fifth tape. We learned before about the arrogant women, the Benos Tzion. One explanation was that they were simply immoral. They walked and they tried to attract the men's attention, especially the Bochrim, the young ones. They had perfume, perhaps, by their feet as they walked. They stepped in a way that the perfume would waft in through the air and attract the passers-by. And they wore many different types of ornaments. Ve'chaziku sheva noshim b'ishechod. This could be as a direct punishment for that behavior. Seven women will grab onto one man by Yomahu Lamar on that day, saying, Lachmenu nochel, we'll eat our own food, v'sim losenu nilbosh, and we'll wear our own clothing. Raki korei shimcha aleinu, just your name should be called on us, we should be known as your wife. Esov cherposenu, gather in our disgrace. As a result of the fact, as the Marikara brings down, they dressed themselves up as a zoina, as a harlot, to attract other men, and they weren't doing it for their own husbands. They despised their own husbands. The punishment is that the time will come, they'll lose their husbands, there'll be a lot of almanos, a lot of widows, and seven women will try to, there'll only be one man, and they'll beg him to marry them. The Arbar Benel says the truth is the main punishment would be on the men. We just learned at the end of Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chof Hei, Messiah, your men, Bacher of Yipola, will fall by the sword. Ugvurotseich, and your strength will fall by Milchama, in war. If the men are killed, the main punishment is on the men. And it could be, as we learned before, there was a complaint against the men, and there was the sin of the women. The men, we learned in Perek Beis, and Pasuk Ches, Vatimali Artso Elilim, the land was full of idols. Lamasa Yodav Yishtachavu, people bowed down to what they created, to their own accomplishments, to their own idols. They believed that they had all the power. And after Hashem will reveal His greatness, V'niskov Hashem levado beyomahu, and everybody will realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then v'ho elilim kol il yachalof, the idols will totally be destroyed and there won't be any more idolatry. Perhaps the women's sin wasn't even as great. The women might just, in general, of not being dressed modestly in the street, I don't know if their motives were as crass and as terrible as the other Mephorshim say. The Arbar Benel says they were haughty. They had that pride. But the main blame was on the men. So the men ended up dying. But we all know, Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo, everything that Hashem does is perfect. And if the man dies, it's because he deserved it. Which I say, sometimes we don't understand. There are many cheshbonos and calculations that Hashem has. But if the women are suffering, there's a punishment for the women also. And therefore, because of the pride of the Benos Tzion, they suffered this loss, that now they don't have husbands, ve'chaziku. And they're grabbing on with like a force, like a desperation. The sheva noshim, the seven women, are grabbing on be'ishecha to one man. The number seven very often is not a precise number. The Radak says, for instance, Kol Yimei Ha'olam Shavuos. The days of the world work in the number seven. Of course, the 7 days of the week, the Shiva Yimei Bereishis, seven, the number seven, shows like the full experience of Olam Hazeh. Everything this world has to offer is in the number seven. It says in the Tochacha, if we sin, they'll be punished. Sheva Al Chato Seichem, sevenfold, like their sin. It's the number seven. There's a pasuk, Kisheva Yipol Tzadik. A tzadik can have seven downfalls become, and yet he gets up. But the number seven is used in many psukim as the full the full trauma of everything that could be experienced in this world. Vechaziku sheva noshim b'yidshechar means that there'll be a lot of women who will want to marry and there'll only be one man. Bayomahu, on that day. Which day is it? Which day is it referring to? Now, there are different explanations. The Radak brings down that there was a war in the days of Ochaz. Yeshaya said a prophecy during the time span of four kings. Uzziyahu, his son Yosam, Yosam's son Ochaz, and Ochaz's son Chizkiyahu. Those four kings, Uzziyahu, Yosam, Ochaz, Chizkiyahu. In the times of Ochaz, there was a tremendous battle. It's discussed in Divrei Hayomim Beis, in Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Vav. And it says 120,000 men, soldiers, were killed in one day. 120,000. After that time, the punishment came. That there were so many almanos, so many widows, from the 120,000 men, that nobody was able to find the shidduch. They weren't able to get married. That's one explanation. Rashi brings down, as the pasuk continues, Esov cherposenu, gather in our disgrace. Rashi brings down that Nebuchadnezzar, who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash, realized that it was from Hashem. And the Jewish people were obviously, for whatever reason, because of their sins, they were deserving of such a terrible, awesome punishment. But he knew that if his soldiers would sin and go too far, if his soldiers would be immoral, if they would live with married women, that would divert Hashem's anger from the Jewish people and they would suffer. His army would suffer. So Nebuchadnezzar had a decree. Any married woman, his soldiers had to stay away from. The single women, they could do whatever they want. They ravaged the country, they took whatever they want, they had a free hand. But a married woman was off limits. On that day, they'll say, Esov cherposenu, gather in our disgrace. Because for a Jewish girl to be taken by the goyim is the greatest disgrace. Like we had in Parshas Vayishlach, we'll have, they told Shechem, ki cherpo hi lonu, for you to take Dina, for the non-Jews, those that aren't circumcised, but it means in a general sense, the non-Jews, to take the Jewish daughters is a disgrace. It's a cherpa for us. Esov cherpo seinu, gather in our disgrace, marry us, and then we'll be protected from the non-Jews, from the army of Nebuchadnezzar. If so, this happened a while later. Ochaz was earlier, and this happened in the times of Nebuchadnezzar. What they said was, Lachmenu nochel, we'll eat our own bread. V'simloseinu nilbosh, and we'll wear our own garments. A man, the Torah legislates that a man has three obligations to his wife. There are additional ones that the Chachamim set up, but the Torah mentions She'er K'sus V'ona, and on the simple level there's a machlokus exactly which things are legislated by the Torah and which things are by the rabbis, but in the simple meaning She'er means the husband has to feed his wife, and K'sus means he has to clothe her, and Ona is he has to have relations as a husband and wife. What they said was Lachmenu Nochel, we'll provide our own food. V'simloseinu nilbosh, we'll wear our own clothing. In other words, we don't need you to provide any support. We're mochel. We're going to forego what the obligations that a husband has. Raki kore shimcha aleinu. Just your name should be called on us. We should be known as your wife. One of the Mephorshim says, the truth is the word lechem, bread, itself sometimes refers to relations between a husband and wife. For example, when Yosef was taken to Mitzrayim and he was sold to the house of Potiphar, Yosef was given control over everything. Ki'im halechem asher hu ochel, except for the bread that Potiphar ate. which the rabbis explained to mean Yosef was given control over everything except for Potiphar's bread, which is a nice way of saying his wife. It could be they were even saying, Lachmeinu Nochel, we'll eat our own bread, meaning we're not even obligating to you to that obligation of the husband, to live with his wife. It's just they should be known as a married woman. As Sov Cherpaseinu gather in our disgrace, the disgrace that they don't have a husband, and very often others take advantage of them, which is why the Torah protects the almana. A widow and an orphan get a special consideration. A person has to be extra careful with them. But nature is that they're a weaker person and they're taken advantage of. Gather in our disgrace by marrying us. Our disgrace could be that they feel they're undesired. The disgrace could be that the goyim would take them. And the disgrace could also be people might suspect them of being immoral. They're not married. They're free. They don't have the stability of a family. Gather in our disgrace. The Gemara in Ksuvus discusses, there's a beautiful explanation that a bachur, a boy in his teenage years, before he gets married, is called a bachur. They say because it's in a certain sense, it's the chosen point of his life. Miloshin, the chosen. Because once a person gets married, to a certain extent, he's sort of locked in. A guy is not allowed to decide. And the halacha is this way. If a person marries a wife with a certain understanding, let's say he's a chenveni, he's a shopkeeper, and he's able to be home every week. And all of a sudden he decides he wants to become a donkey driver, and he'll be gone for months at a time, or a sailor. He's not allowed to. Without his wife's permission, he can't just make a radical life change without her agreement. They got married with a certain understanding. A bachur is sort of chosen in that sense that it's the few years, those years when of young adulthood, where he can really set his course and decide what kind of a life he wants to have, what he wants to make of himself. And then he can go find a wife, and she'll know what he's interested in, and then they can set up a happy and successful marriage. But a person can't make sudden changes. And the Gemara discusses if somebody wants and he convinces his wife that he wants to go and learn, what is considered to be an acceptable absence from the home? He can go for a month, he'll be home the next 2 months. And the Gemara discusses in Ksuvus on Daf Samach Beis. But Tosis says a beautiful thought. And Tosis asks, how did Rabbi Akiva leave, and he went for 24 years. He was gone for 12 years and he was going to come back, and he heard his wife say she'd be happy if he went to learn away longer. There were chachamim who went away for years and years and years. And the Gemara discusses that if a man convinces his wife he wants to go away and learn, there's a short amount of time that he can go away. He can't go away for years. And Tosfos says on the top of Samach Beis Amud Aleph and Ksuvus, the Hossam below Pitui. Over there, Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim of that stature and of that era, without convincing their wives, the women had a joy that their husbands were going to learn. On the contrary, that's why they married these men. Rabbi Akiva's wife, Rachel, married him not because he convinced her he would like to go away and learn. If he convinces her, he should only go away for a short time and then come home, and then after he's home for weeks, 2 months, then they can go away again for a short time. But over here, they wanted their husbands. They married them with that understanding that the husband should go and learn. It could be over here the era will be such that Lachmeinu Nochel, they could be saying, they're even willing to forego the mitzvah of Ona, the husband's obligations to his wife, not just the bread, not just the garment, but the reference to even the family relations. They're interested. Let the husband go and learn. Just Raki Kore Shimcha Leinu. Just your name should be called on us. Esov Cherposeinu, gather in our disgrace. One of the interesting things with Yeshaya is we're not studying just the history that happened, but all this is prophecies of the past and the future. It's not clear, did this happen in the time of Ochaz, that king, when 120,000 men were killed in one day? Was it a little bit later in the times of Nebuchadnezzar? We'll learn in the next pasuk. Some learn the next pasuk is referring to Mashiach. Vayomahu yitzemach Hashem, the sprout of Hashem will be litzvi ulechovod, will be for a beauty and for an honor, and it's referring to Mashiach. I think it's plausible to say, although I leave it to my esteemed audience, you're welcome to disagree with me. But the Nevuahs are, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky mentioned that after the destruction of the first temple, we had a second temple. But the second temple was really not the Geula. It was not the redemption, and people realized it wasn't the redemption. It says there were people who were there present when they built the second Beis HaMikdash after the 70-year exile, and they remembered the first Beis HaMikdash. There were old men who saw the first Beis HaMikdash, the first temple, and then they saw the second one. And they started to cry. And they thought, this is a temple, this is a Beis HaMikdash. It was such a letdown. And the other people were singing and dancing, the younger people, wow, the Chanukah Sabayis, they made the Beis HaMikdash, and there were those who were crying and those that were singing, and the singing drowned out the crying, but people saw the original temple and they realized the second Beis HaMikdash is not the way it should be. Can you imagine a Beis HaMikdash without the Aron HaKodesh? In the Kodesh Kadoshim there was no Ark! And it was missing, the Nevuah was ending, the last prophets were still alive at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. But the era of prophecy was coming to an end. And they didn't have the Urim V'Tumim, they weren't able to foretell the direct message from Hashem. And there were five critical things that were missing in the second Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains, and it's a beautiful thought, that after the 70-year exile, there was rampant intermarriage. Ezra came and he saw the chashuvim, the important people had taken non-Jewish wives. If this would have continued a while longer, the Jewish people would not have been able to last. So Hashem gave us a second Beis HaMikdash, and we came back to Eretz Yisrael, and the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made certain enactments to keep the people together, like setting up the Shemona Esrei. You don't have to walk in every day and think of how are you going to daven and what are the ideas and what are the basic... Everything's arranged for you in Shemona Esrei. You just have to have kavana and pay attention to what we're saying. It's not easy. But that's all we have to do is have kavana. The words are all prepared. And everything has a relevance in Shemona Esrei. The number of words and the number of letters and the order of the brachos, and it intends for the individual and for the community in all eras. But all this was set up by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. And during that course of the second Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael was able to regroup that after such a long exile, Baruch Hashem was still here and was still serving Hashem. There's always room for improvement, but Klal Yisrael is doing a good job. So that's what the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah did. But the second Beis HaMikdash was not really the Geula. They realized it wasn't the redemption. If the last pasuk was discussing the arrogant women, the Benos Tzion, and the destruction of the way things were in the first Beis HaMikdash, and pasuk Beis that we're about to learn is talking about the times of Mashiach, this pasuk is sometimes somewhere in between. It's in between the sins of the first temple, and it's in between Mashiach, which we'll get to in a moment. It would seem to me that this pasuk could be alluding to the situation nowadays, what's commonly called the Shidduch crisis. I think if somebody were to learn this pasuk, it would be hard to imagine when there was such a situation where there would be seven women, women that it's hard for them to find a Shidduch. There's Ishecha, there's one man. And the women don't need a parnasa. It's not like a time in the history where the women were such that they needed a man, otherwise there was nobody to take care of them. A lot of the women who are looking for a shidduch have lachmeinu nochel. They have their bread and they have their clothing. Some of them, according to that explanation we learned, would even be happy the husband should go off and learn. But certainly, in the simple meaning, that they don't need the parnasa. They just want to have a shidduch. And the next pasuk is, Mashiach will meet Hashem come. I was just, perhaps that's a prescient forecast of the times we're living in. It'll be the times, as I said, the simple meaning is that there would be that curse that Hashem is going to remove that we had in Perek Gimel. Mashenu Mashenu. There won't be any type of support. There won't be the Mishan Lechem and the Mishan Moyim. There won't be people to provide bread. There won't be people to provide water. And the women will say, marry us anyways. Don't worry about that. Raki Kori Shimcha Aleinu Asov Cherpaseinu. Gather in our disgrace. Bayomahu on that day, Yiat Semach Hashem, the sprouting of Hashem will be Litzvi, you'll be a beauty, Ulachavod in an honor. Ufri Haaretz, the fruits of the land, Lego'on will be a pride, Ulasiferes and a splendor, Lifleitas Yisrael, for those that remain, the Pleita, the remnant of Klal Yisrael. Of course, it depends at which point of history the punishment is coming. When are the seven women grabbing on to one man? If this happened in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, that they just wanted to be married, that Nebuchadnezzar's army shouldn't take them. So by Yomahu on that day, there'll be a Tzemach Hashem. There were tzaddikim. At that time, at the time of the Churban, they were brought to Bavel before in the days of Yehoyakim, and they arose to prominence after the Churban. There was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel, and the other tzaddikim. And they became a beauty and an honor for Klal Yisrael. It could be referring to Zerubbabel, who helped to build the second Beis HaMikdash, that after the terrible punishments, Zerubbabel came and made the second Beis HaMikdash. It could also be referring to the times of Chizkiyoh. Achaz was the king that 120,000 were killed in a day. Bayomahu, but right afterwards, Achaz had a son. And Achaz was a terrible Rasha. And he had a son, Chizkiyoh HaMelech, that was one of the greatest tzaddikim. And he was like a Tzemach Hashem, the Avraham Avinu learns, he was like a sprouting from Hashem. You couldn't recognize he was the son of his father. It was like he came out of nowhere from a man, Achaz, there's such a tzaddik. He was like a Tzemach Hashem. And he was litzvi for a beauty, a lechavod, and an honor. In his days, Sancheiriv's army that had encircled Yerushalayim and destroyed the whole country and exiled Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes, and now was right outside Yerushalayim. And miraculously, by a malach, they were all wiped out. And Chizkiyoh himself was sick and was about to die, and miraculously he got better. And the sun moved back 15 levels to show that miracle to the whole world. We'll learn about it later in Yeshaya. The king of Bavel, which was one of the major forces in that time, sent presents to Chizkiyoh in recognition of his greatness and the providence of Hashem. In those days, that's the Tzemach Hashem will be a Tzvi l'chavod. Upri ha'aretz. And the fruit of the land, meaning the other people who are not clearly the sprouting of Hashem, like Chizkiyoh, but the commoners, the priorites, the fruit of the land, they were also legoon, a pride, a luciferous, and a splendor. It says there were, everybody was experts in the difficult laws of Tumah and Tahara, of impurity. Even the children, the boys and the girls, everyone had, there was such a knowledge of Torah. Throughout the country, the priorites was a pride. And it was Lifleitas Yisrael, for those remnants of Klal Yisrael, those that escaped from the sword of Pekach. They weren't from the 120,000 killed. Those that escaped with their lives are the plate of the remnant. And from the king of Aram, and from the 10 tribes that were exiled, whatever was left was a little plate, a remnant. But that what remained in the times of Chizkiyahu became an honor and a splendor for Klal Yisrael. But most of the Meforshim learn, Bayom Ahu, as the Targum says, Bidona Ahu Yehe Meshicha Da Hashem. Metzudas brings it down. At that time, the sprouting of Hashem is referring to Mashiach. Mashiach will come. And it'll be Litzvi for a beauty, Ulechavod, and for an honor. Those words are referring to a person's intrinsic beauty. Sometimes a person is born and you can see he's born with an external beauty. That's the tzvi. Perhaps he inherited wealth. That's also the tzvi. It's a beauty that is not because of what he worked on. And the lechavod is in a spiritual sense. He's worthy of honor because he was born in that position. Ufri ha'aretz. And yet the people will go ahead in the times of Mashiach and they'll become greater and greater and they'll study and they'll learn the fruits of the land, what the land produces, what we're able to accomplish, will be lagon in the physical sense. There'll be a pride, like you'd imagine somebody who's born with a talent and he develops it to become the great, accomplished, whatever, athlete, musician, whatever the field of his endeavor. But he'll become lagon, a pride, will a siferes, and a glory, in a spiritual sense, there'll be the tifara, the beauty of what he's produced, and that will be lifleitas Yisrael, for those that remain in Klal Yisrael. The Mari Kora points out, we learned before, that Hashem will remove all of those jewelry and all of the ornaments that distracted somebody from serving Hashem, that were used for sin. When somehow the Gashmis is removed, when all of the Olam Hazeh is removed, by Yom Ahu on that day, then Yit Semach Hashem Litzvi Ulechavod, the sprout of Hashem will become a beauty and an honor in order to appreciate the ruchnius, the spirituality. Huh. It's necessary to break away from the gashmius. Sometimes if a person is mired and he's caught up in Olam Hazeh, it's very hard for him to aspire and to be able to feel ruchnius. One explanation is the Chazal, Hizoru bivnei aniyim shemehem teitzei Torah. You got to be careful with the children of the poor, because Torah will come out from the poor people. And one explanation given is because the poor people don't have other distractions. The wealthy people have their games and have their activities and have their entertainment and have their things that distract them from Avodas Hashem. When all that is removed, then you can appreciate the spiritual beauty, the tzvi and lekavod. V'hoya nishar b'tzion. And it will be what remains in Tzion, v'hanosar b'Yerushalayim, and what remains in Yerushalayim, kadosh yomer lo. They'll say about that person, he's holy. Kol ha'kosuv l'chayim b'Yerushalayim, all those that are written for life in Yerushalayim. Hanishar is those that are left over on purpose. Nosar is those that happen to remain just because the other ones were destroyed or taken away or wiped out. Those that remained are called Nosar. Tzion is the important, prestigious part of Yerushalayim, like where the king's palace was, where the Beis HaMikdash was. V'hoya nishar b'tzion. In Tzion there were those who were left over. When the king of Babel came and he destroyed the land and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, but he took some of the choicest people, as we've mentioned, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and he had them raised that they could serve in the king's palace. That was the Nishar B'Tzion. In Tzion, there were those who were left over purposely. V'hanosar b'Yerushalayim, and in the rest of the city, there were those that were Nosar. They weren't killed, they weren't exiled, there were those that remained. Kodosh Yomer Lo. And in that time, in Mashiach's time, according to the explanation we're talking about, Mashiach, Kadosh Yomer Lo, it'll be said about him that he's holy. Kol HaKasuv L'Chayim B'Yerushalayim, we'll see. There'll be some Rishayim and they'll get their punishment, but those that are written for life, those Tzadikim, will be on the level to be called Kadosh. Rashi says, "V'hoyo hanishar, those that remain among Klal Yisrael, b'tzion, they will be in Tzion. V'hanosar, and those that remain in any place in the world, b'Yerushalayim, will be in Yerushalayim. We'll all be gathered to Yerushalayim, to Tzion. Kodesh Yamarlo, and they'll be called holy." And you'll wonder, but what about all those great tzaddikim who are already nifter? Kol hakosuv l'chaim b'Yerushalayim. All those written for life, those that are going to have the life of Olam Haba and Tchiyas HaMesim, they'll all be in Yerushalayim. All the generations, those that have preceded us, and those of us who will be tzaddikim, will all be gathered in Yerushalayim, and then we'll reach our greatness, Kadosh Yomelo, they'll be called holy. With a leader like, again, it could be it's talking about the times of Chizkiyo. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Choftes, Moshel Makshiv al Dvar Shoker. If the ruler listens to lies, Kol Mishorsov Rishoim, his servants will be wicked. If there's a bad leader, it filters down it and influences everyone. When there's a leader like Chizkiyo, he's able to raise the whole level of the people, and the people become kadosh. And we're going to learn about this more, but in the times of Chizkiyo, it was clear to the people. It was a life and death choice. He put a sword, and he said, whoever's not going to learn Torah should be killed by the sword. And everybody left their attention to Olam Hazeh, and the whole nation became holy people. The Gemara in Chulin makes that point on Daf Dalet, that if a Rasha, as the Pasuk says, when the leader listens to lies, his servants are all wicked. The same thing goes that if you have a tzaddik who's leading the country, everybody, it raises the level of the whole, of all the people. Imrochatz Hashem, if Hashem will wash away, it could be used as the word im, because it's really not nice to say Hashem might need to do this. To wash away a tzoas benos tzion. So is excrement. It's schmutz. It's the dirt, like from the bathroom, gedolim. It's such a derogatory term to say that Hashem is going to have to clean us up. It's worded as im, if. But it's understood by the Meforshim, im means when it happens. There are many psukim like that. Im takriv minchas bikurim. If you bring this korban, which we'll have to bring. Im can mean when. Im rochatz Hashem, the time will come that Hashem will wash away a tzoas benos tzion, the tzoa, the shmutz, the dirt from the benos tzion, the daughters of Zion, of Tzion, that we said had this pride. Vestimei Yerushalayim yodiach mikirbo. And the blood of Yerushalayim, the leaders were guilty of bloodshed, of mistreating others, oppressing the poor, which was called bloodshed. That might need more than just washing it away. It might be yodiach, a greater cleaning. He'll have to wash it away, he'll have to purge it, he'll have to do a better cleaning job. But if he washes away the blood of Yerushalayim, beruach mishpat, there'll be a spirit of judgment. The leaders weren't doing mishpat. Now they'll be punished, and mishpat will be reinstituted. Justice of ruach boer, and whatever has to be destroyed and wiped out, purged, Hashem will wash and remove all of those sins. When that happens, Uvara Hashem, Hashem will create. The word bara, like Bereshis bara Elohim, bara means to create something ex nihilo, something yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. The original creation. Later on when it's formed and it's changed, you have the words yotzar or osa, but bara is a new thing. What we're going to learn now, we're going to try to comprehend it a little, but it's really a new creation. And until we see it, we won't fully understand it. But Ubara Hashem, Hashem will create. Al kol mechon har tzion, on all of the established places of har tzion. Va'al mikro eho, and Hashem will create on all those who are invited, all those who are summoned and gathered to tzion. Hashem will create anon yomam, a cloud by the day, v'oshan, and will be smoke, V'noga, there'll be a shining, a glow. Eish lahava, of a fire, of a flaming fire. Loila at night. Ki al kol kavod, on all honor, there'll be chuppah, there'll be a covering. V'sukah tia letzel yomam, there'll be sukkah, a shelter, a sukkah, a hut, a protection. Letzel yomam, as a shade during the day, mechorev, from the heat. Ulamachse, and as a protection. Ulamistor, and a refuge. Mizerem, from the storm. Umimotor, and from rain. Hashem is going to create al kol machon har tzion, on all of the established places of har tzion. It could mean referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Va'al mikro eho could be where the Shechina, those that are gathered, those who are summoned to the Har Tzion, meaning the Shechina, as the Targum says, Asar Beis Shechinte, the place where the Shechina will rest. And the Shechina will be there, and there'll be the clouds, and the fire, and the protection. There'll be a storm, it seems to be, there'll be a storm around. It could be Hashem is creating it, Al Machon Har Tzion, on Har Tzion, Va'al Mikro'eho means the outlying areas, the other cities, where the focal point will be Har Tzion, but everyone else will come and will gather in Har Tzion. And we'll have these things. The Malbim says, Machon Har Tzion, Va'al Mikro'eho, those that are gathered to Har Tzion, means not just the Tzadikim, but even the Rishoyim. And the same things that will be the greatest reward for the Tzadikim will be the punishment for the Rishoyim. There'll be an Anan Yomam, a cloud by the day. That will be for the Tzadikim. V'oshan, and the Rishoyim will experience that same cloud as smoke that hurts and chokes and suffocates. V'noga, and there'll be a glow, a shining, a light. That'll be for the Tzadikim. Eish lahava, and that same fire that provides such warmth and such light will be an Eish Lahava, a burning fire against the Rishoyim. Ki al kol kavod chupa, and on all of the honor, there'll be a covering. And Chazal learned out there are going to be seven different chupos, seven different coverings. They try to give us a little glimpse of the honor of what is going to be Klal Yisrael's in those days. But if it's talking at the time when there are still Rishoyim, the Tzadikim and Rishoyim are all gathered, as we just saw from the Malbim, it could be there still will be a storm. There'll still be the Chorev, the heat. There'll be the Zerem and the Matar. Rashi brings down, like, pour down the punishment on the Rishoyim. There'll be a fire from Gehenim. There'll be terrible punishments. And the Tzadikim will be protected in their booth. It's almost like the Gemara says, the discussion whether when we were in the Midbar with us, and we had Sukkos, Basukkos Teshvu, Kibasukkos Oshavti Espenei Yisrael, we were in Sukkos, was that literally huts? Or was that Anani Akavod? And the Mefarshim see the same thing in these Psukim. There's a parallel to what happened in the Midbar, where we were surrounded, the clouds of glory during the day, Vamud Eish Loila, and there was the pillar of fire at night, when we traveled through the Midbar, and it will be here also. By Matan Torah, you also find the same thing. The Har Sinai, Oshan Kulo, the mountain was full of smoke, because Hashem came down, Asher Yarad Alav Hashem Bo Eish, Hashem came down in a fire, and there was an Anan Kavod Al Har, and will be there like Moshe Rabbeinu was there on Har Sinai. And this is also by the Mishkan and by the Beis HaMikdash. It says, Uchvod Hashem Oleyes Aboyes, Anan Hashem Al HaMishkan Yomam, Ve'esh Tia Laila Bo. By the Mishkan, there was the Anani HaKavod, and there was the fire, and this is the way it will be by the third Beis HaMikdash. According to the Abarbanel, who learns that the time of the punishment was in the times of Achaz, and the consolation, the reward we're referring to is the times of Chizkiyo. It could mean Ubara Hashem, Hashem will create in the times of Chizkiyo, Al Kol Machon Har Tzion, on the established places of Yerushalayim. Har Tzion is referring to the places where they learned Torah Shebal Peh. The Gemara says, Oev Hashem Sharei Tzion. Hashem loves the gates of Tzion, Mikom Mishkanos Yaakov, more than all the dwelling places of Yaakov. And the Gemara says in Brachos that Sharei Tzion is Sha'orim Mitzuyonim Bahalacha, where they're distinguished in Halacha. So it could be on the established places of Har Tzion, where people learn Torah Shebichsav, where they learn Torah Shebal Peh. Va'al Mikra Eha can be from the word Mikra. And the places where they're learning Torah Shebichsav, they're learning Mikra. And they will experience these miraculous things, the clouds of glory and the fire, like in the times of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I saw the Me'am Lois says, it's not so far off and it's not so hard to believe it. And they make mention of a Tosfos. And Brochus and Daf Yud Zayin Amid Beis. The Gemara talks about certain nations had a certain cruelty and a callousness. And no matter what they were shown, it didn't influence them and it didn't inspire them and it didn't change them. And they kept on living their same life. And Omar of Yosef, Teda, I'll show you that the people of this country are cruel. They have a hardness of the heart. Nobody becomes a ger. From that nation, nobody becomes a ger. Nobody's interested in serving Hashem and joining the Jewish people. Amar of Ashi, b'nei Mosa Machasya abirei lev ninu. The people in the city, Mosa Machasya, have a hard heart. De kachozu yikora doraisa. They see the honor of the Torah, trei zimni b'shata, two times a year. And nobody converts. Nobody becomes a ger. Now, the simple meaning is that Klal Yisrael gathered together twice a year before Pesach and before in the Elul to hear the halachas of Yom Tov. And Klal Yisrael gathered together thousands and thousands of people just to learn Torah. There was no star and there was no sports event. Just to hear the word of Hashem, thousands of people gathered. And nobody was impressed. Nobody was, you'd never have the goyim would hang up a sign, we're going to get together in Madison Square Garden and we're going to study the Constitution. And nobody would show up. And you imagine thousands of people come, let's say, for a Siyum HaShas, and that doesn't inspire anyone in this place, Mosav HaChasya. That's the simple meaning. But Tosis brings a story, an event. And Tosfos says, "V'ra'isi v'sefer o'itim shechiba harav Rabbi Yehuda bar Barzilai shashoma." He saw a sefer of somebody who heard shehaya amud shel eish yored mina shemayim aleihem bekala de elul vekala de ador. Kala is when everyone got together to learn. It was called the kala. That's the name of the event. And a pillar of fire came down. And amud shel eish yored mina shemayim. Twice a year, everyone got together to learn, and they saw an open miracle. It was visible to all. There was a pillar of fire. And the goyim saw it, and nobody converted. It was a certain hardness of the heart. Anyways, if that could happen while we were in Golus, that can happen in the times of the Amoraim. Certainly in the times of Chizkiyo HaMelech, to say there were supernatural events, that there were clouds of glory, there were pillars of fire by day and by night, it could be understood to refer to the times of Chizkiyo HaMelech. But the simple meaning is that it's referring to the times of Mashiach. And the Gemara says in Baba Basra and Daf Ayin Hey, there will be seven different canopies for every tzaddik. And the Meforshim, the Rashbam, and the Rashash in the back discuss exactly what the seven are. One explanation is the Onon, the cloud by day, is one. Oshon, the smoke, is two. Noga, the shining, is three. The Eish, fire, and Lahova is number five. The Chup is six. And the Sukkah is number seven. That's one explanation of how to count the seven. But there'll be seven Chuppas for every Tzaddik. And it brings our Pasuk. Malamed, Shakol Echad Ve'echad Oselo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chuppa Lefi Kvodo. Everyone will get his own chuppa based on his honor. In other words, we all know, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek L'Olam Haba. Everyone, all Jewish people have a chelek, a share in the Olam Haba. But a person shouldn't think, you know, once you have your admission ticket, you're in. You can take it easy. But in Olam Haba, and this is what we're talking about for eternity, it's not like a guy can tolerate that his neighbor seems to have a better standard of living than he does. Here we're talking about for eternity. People will realize what they have in Olam Haba and what the other person has. And everyone will have his shelter based on his own greatness. Oshon b'chupa lama. And the Gemara asks, if there's a protection, a canopy, what's the smoke for? Amar Rabbi Chanina, shekol mi she'ein of tzoros b'tamidi chachamim b'olam hazeh. All those that are stingy, that look negatively on tamidi chachamim in this world, mismalos ein of oshon l'olam haba. Their eyes become full of smoke in olam haba. I guess we have to be careful how we look, especially on to look on Talmidei Chachamim and to try to, especially without discussing the economic scene, but we all know, especially in Eretz Yisrael and here also, the yeshivas, and person has to look and have a good eye, the way he looks toward Talmidei Chachamim, and you should try to want to help the yeshivas and Talmidei Chachamim. The Eish B'chupa Lama, what's the fire for at the chuppah? Amar Rabbi Chanina, Malamich kol echad ve'echad nichva mechuposo shel chaveiro. Everyone sort of gets singed, gets burnt. There's a fire there. And your friend's chuppah has a fire to it, and you see his chuppah, and you like sort of get burnt by the realization that, you know, we could have done that. He did that mitzvah, he learned that Torah, he accomplished whatever level in Avodas Hashem, we could have also done it. And now for eternity, we're stuck without that milah. Oy lo osa busha, oy lo osa chlima. Woe to that embarrassment, woe to that shame. It's a little bit of a saddening thought. But I saw the Marsha, and the Marsha is, I think, a very encouraging idea. The Marsha says on that Gemara, every tzaddik, lufi she'esh l'chol tzaddik v'tzaddik, shum mailo madrega, b'shum mitzvah she'en kein l'chaveiro. The truth is, every tzaddik has some maila and some madrega that the other tzaddik doesn't have. Like the Gemara brings down by Rav Chanina and Rav Chia, one of them, Rav Chanina, had such a brilliance in Torah, if it would be forgotten, he could restore it with his power of pilpul, his analytic powers. He would be able to bring back the Torah. And Rav Chia said, I deserve credit because of me, Torah won't be forgotten. I make sure to teach the young that the Torah shouldn't be forgotten. But you see, each tzaddik can have his own maila. So, emi spayish mi chavero. So the Marsha says, the truth is, you won't be embarrassed because of the next person. V'fi shekol echad yesh lo shum madrega v'shum mitzvah she'en b'chaveiro. Everybody has his own special area in which he excelled. And it just means when everyone is nichva, burnt from his friend's chuppah, is mean we'll realize that our friend accomplished more than we did by a certain mitzvah. But it won't be an embarrassment, because we have our area where we excelled. Everybody has his own individual shelter, his own canopy. Avol Omar oylo l'osa busha v'oylo l'osa chlima. What's the woe to that shame and the embarrassment? L'osa isha ein lo shum mailo madrega. For those who have no maila or no madrega. But Amir Tzashem, when we're all, those that tzaddikim, and as I say nowadays, you know, we on one hand, the person's got to know that we have a long way to go and you have to strive and you have to improve. On the other hand, it's well known, and these days, those that are keeping the faith, that alone is a tremendous, tremendous zechus. And those that are tzaddikim and have some maila, And the Gemara says, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, Fichach Hirbolehem Torah Mitzvos. There's so many different mitzvos, and so many different areas in Torah. Everyone's able to shine and excel. And of course, there'll be the realization that if he excels in that area, I could have also done it. And we're nichva, we do get burnt from the other person's canopy. But the embarrassment won't be for those that have their own chuppah. And there'll be the sukkah for a tzel yoma mechorev, a protection from the heat. The Malbim explains it could even be the sukkah tiel tzel yomam. There'll be this shelter from during the day mechorev. The heat itself will be a shelter. Like we mentioned, what punishes the rishayim, the wicked, will be the shelter for the tzaddikim. Ulamachse ulamistar will have the protection and the refuge. Mizerim umimotar, the storm and the rain themselves will provide the protection for the tzaddikim. What's used to punish the rishayim will be used to benefit the tzaddikim. We'll start Perek Hay. Yeshaya has different ways of trying to correct the people. We've had the kina, the lamentation, discussing the churban. We've had words of encouragement about the way things, how they'll be in the future. There's been words of rebuke. And now, Yeshaya has a song. Sometimes a person's inspired with a song, and that will elevate them. Of course, what qualifies as a song, it actually bothered me for many years. I wasn't sure the exact definition of what's called a shir, what's called a song, what's called poetry. And Abarbanel has actually a long discussion about how a shir, sometimes a shir is a certain number of syllables and words and a stanza, and the stanzas correspond. It has a certain beat, a certain meter to it. Sometimes a shir is called that because it has a tune to it, even if it doesn't rhyme and it doesn't seem to have the same number of words, but it has a tune. Sometimes a shir, a song, is something where you're referring to a certain event, but you describe it in other terms. In other words, you sing about something and your intention is something else. But a shir no lididi, Yeshaya says, I'm now going to sing lididi for my beloved, referring to Hashem. Hashem here, even though it's going to be Musaf for Klal Yisrael, but Hashem is the Yadid, wants to be addressed as the dear one, the one who would feel such a closeness to Klal Yisrael. Shiras Dodi Lecharmo, the song of my beloved Lecharmo about his vineyard. Hashem is going to sing a song about a vineyard, that Hashem made this place to produce choice grapes and to make the best wine. And we'll see what happens. Kerem hoyeli didi bekeren ben shomen. My dear one, my yedid, had a vineyard, bekeren ben shomen, in a fertile area, in a corner that was ben shomen, that was very rich. In order to grow a vineyard, you need a number of things. For those who, I remember years ago, I was once read a little bit how you make beer and how you make grapes, wine, and it discussed the different, you know, things. To produce wine, wine is really a science, and it's a chokhmah. There's a tremendous amount of knowledge to make a good wine. First of all, it has to be in the right land. The topography makes a difference, the geography. People talk about a wine that comes from, whether it comes from Italy, comes from France, comes from California, comes from Eretz Yisrael. The different countries, you can have the same grapevines, but I don't know if you would say that, you know, the figs that come from Turkey taste different than the figs from California. You know, the other fruits doesn't make such a big difference. And a Macintosh apple, no matter which state it grew in, tastes the same. Wine is not that way. Wine, it makes a difference which land it's in. Not only that, but wine takes a lot of care. Those that have a vineyard spend a lot of time working it and tilling the soil and preparing the grapes, and it takes a lot of effort in order to produce a good crop. And of course, the type of grapevine. There are different types of grapevines, and based on your type of grapevine will determine what kind of wine you have. And one last thought with a vine is if you leave a vine on the ground, it'll remain on the ground. If you attach a vine to a 5-foot pole, the vine will grow 5 feet high. If you put it onto a tall building, the vines can go all the way up the building. The height of the vine is not like a tree, where an orange tree has a certain height. A vine is not that way. A vine can sometimes be on the ground, and it can reach the highest levels. Hashem planted a vineyard, which we're going to see as Klal Yisrael. Kerem hoyo lididi bekeren ben shomen. And Hashem took this vine, he took Klal Yisrael, and he planted us in a fertile soil, in the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about, in the land where Avraham Avinu was told to go there if he wants to become a success, in the land where the Nevi'im were produced, and the land that the Nevi'im talked about, where the Avira Machkim, the air of that place, makes somebody wise. He planted us in Eretz Yisrael. And it was Keren, like a horn, like a high place. Eretz Yisrael is Gavoa Mikol HaRotzos. It's higher than the rest of the world. And wine that grows on a mountain, somehow the mountain breezes and air dries up the excessive dampness, so the grape just has that juice from the grape without the excess moisture that would hinder the producing the choice wine. The wine is best that grows in the mountain, and that's where Klal Yisrael was produced. Vayaz Keyu. And our Kodesh Baruch Hu, either he tilled the soil, or most of the Mephoshim learn, he made like a ring around it. He made a fence. And the connotation of a ring, the Targum says, it's like he was Makadish, he like married Klal Yisrael. Vayisaklehu, he removed the stones. The Targum Unkel says he showed honor. He made Klal Yisrael great. But Vayazkehu, again, he made the fence around his vineyard to protect Klal Yisrael. Vayisaklehu, and he removed the stones, meaning he gave us Torah and he gave us mitzvos. He gave us the mitzvahs asay, the positive commandments, like he made the fence, he made the protection, and he removed the stones and whatever Averis could have brought us down. He got rid of those stones, that we shouldn't stumble. And Hashem did this himself. He gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. So we have all of the work that goes into producing a vineyard, Hashem did. He gave us the Torah, and he gave us the mitzvos, and he put us in the good soil. And then he planted us as a choice vine in order to produce greatness. He took the descendant from Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. He took the Ovos and the Imos with their great Kedusha, and he took from them a sapling to produce Klal Yisrael. As Bilam said, Kimirosh Tsurim Erenu Umigvos Ashurenu, I see Klal Yisrael from the mountains, referring to the Ovos and the Imos, their great leaders, the progenitors of Klal Yisrael. And then from there, Mimona Afar Yaakov, who can count? Klal Yisrael's just expanded and grown, but it's an internal growth, not through Chas V'Shalom intermarriage, not with the Goyim, but that pure Sorek grew and grew and produced. Vayiven Migdol Besocho. And then he built a tower so the vine could rise and rise and not remain on the ground. He made a vine in this vineyard that the vines can reach for the sky. There's that tower, which the Mephoshim say is referring to the Beis HaMikdash. That's what he did for the vineyard. And not only that, but after you have the most beautiful grapes, you can take it off somewhere else for processing. But Vagam Yekev Chotzebo, Hashem did even more than that. He made the press and the vat in front of it where the wine should run off. Meaning, after all of that, he gave us Nevi'im. With their inspiration in Olam Hazeh, they're given Ruach HaKodesh and Nevu'ah in this world to produce and to teach Klal Yisrael. Vayikav Lasos Anovim, and Hashem hoped that it would produce grapes. Vayas Be'ushim, and we'll see it didn't turn out as the hope was. We'll have to mute Hashem continue next week.
Thank you.